day we're having. The news is leaking out about who Seattle is choosing and not choosing. The latest we're hearing is that Cole Lind is their pick from the Vancouver Canucks. Now, we know that, for example, Darren Dreger told us a moment ago that Seattle did not take Max Domi from Columbus. They took defenseman Gavin Bayreuth instead. What we don't know is if there was a deal made between Seattle and Columbus to not take Domi. We don't know if a deal was made to pass on a different player from Vancouver and select Cole Lind. All of this is part of the mechanics of what goes into the expansion draft. And no one knows this better than our next guest, the longtime National Hockey League general manager, first in Hartford, Carolina, and then in Pittsburgh, where he won back-to-back Stanley Cups, of course, also won the Cup with the Carolina Hurricanes, and was a Leaf goalie at one time in his life. Please welcome Jim Rutherford. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Gord. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. You know, this is an amazing day, and the picks didn't leak out like this in 2017 with Vegas, and I can't remember, did the Marc-Andre Fleury news get out before Vegas announced it?
I don't recall.
I don't think it did.
If I was guessing, I think it probably did, because it was a deal that we were working on for a fairly long period of time. So my guess is that that information was out.
So, Jim, for our listeners, I think the mechanics of how these expansion draft trades work are interesting, because from 30,000 feet, and I saw it during the playoffs, you know, one writer in Montreal said, can you believe that Pittsburgh let Marc-Andre Fleury go? Well, you didn't really have a choice. I mean, let's set the scene. You'd won back-to-back Stanley Cups. You're hard up against the cap. Matt Murray was your goalie for those two Stanley Cup wins. So take us through the mechanics of your discussions with Vegas and the decision-making process you had.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it than that we just decided to let Fleury go. You know, like, there was a period of time where Matt Murray had taken over the net, and Mark wasn't playing as much. So, you know, he had met with me a few times about not being in that situation going forward. He wanted to play. He wanted to go somewhere where he was going to play. And he made it very clear to me that if I could help him go to Vegas, that's where he would like to go. And then back to what you said, you know, in 16, Murray won all the playoff games except one. You know, Mark was hurt through that run. But then Fleury was an important part of 17 because he won the first two series.
Right.
And the big game in Washington, game seven in the second round, he was terrific, or we wouldn't have gone on and had the chance to win the cup. And then Mike Sullivan went back to Murray for the remaining two series. So hindsight's a great thing, and Marc-Andre Fleury's a great guy and a great goalie. He's done well in Vegas, but with the cap and all the things that we had to look at, I'm not so sure we had another choice.
Who else were you looking at losing potentially in that expansion draft? Do you recall what the other choices might have been?
Well, there was a number of guys because we just come off winning two Stanley Cups.
Right.
And there were guys that everybody played a role. Of course, we always talk about the impact guys and the star players, you know, the Crosbys and the Malkins and guys like that. But there were guys played key roles in there that we didn't want to lose. But at the end of the day, some of those guys weren't going to make almost $6 million that Fleury was making. It would have been very difficult. And like I pointed out a little bit earlier, Mark was getting a little bit antsy with right. sharing the net with another goalie, and he was looking forward to moving on.
Jim, we're talking with Jim Rutherford, longtime National Hockey League general manager. Jim, in 2017, Vegas made a number of deals. The best example is the Minnesota one, where Minnesota traded them Alex Tuck, and they agreed to take Erik Haula instead of one of the two defensemen, Scandella or Dumba. Do you believe, there's a lot of talk among management people now that maybe NHL GMs learn from that, and we'll see less of those deals this year than we saw in 2017?
Well, I thought we would see less of those deals, but the dynamic has changed with COVID and with the flat cap.
Right.
And if we were sitting here where the cap was projected to be closer to $90 million now, there would be a lot of teams not scrambling to move some of the players that they don't want to move. So I think we're still going to see some deals, whether it's in the expansion draft or whether it's some of these teams that have a lot of cap space. You got three or four teams that have strategically put themselves in a position to have a lot of cap space.
Right.
So that's where you may see some of the deals go if some of these players don't get moved in expansion.
Jim, you know Ron Francis well. He was a player for you when you were the GM. He was in management with you in Carolina. What kind of team, knowing him, do you think he'll want to build?
Well, in the initial going with what he has in front of him and what he has to select, he'll want a team that's entertaining and hard to play against and that's capable of winning. And certainly when you look at the players that are available, it's going to give Seattle a chance to be a playoff team in the first year. There's no guarantees, of course. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of player movement. There's going to be other teams that are going to improve. But certainly a competitive team this first year.
Jim, this is an extraordinary period, isn't it? I mean, we've got the expansion draft today. The trade freeze and signing freeze comes off tomorrow. Then there's the draft on Friday. And then free agency the following Wednesday. I mean, I remember talking to George McPhee, the GM and now the president of hockey operations in Vegas. They made their expansion picks. They flew overnight to Chicago for the draft, made a bunch of deals, and had to hustle back to Vegas for free agency. This is a remarkably busy time, unusually, for managers, isn't it?
It is, and very difficult. You know, being a general manager in the National Hockey League is not easy on the best of times, but this is a very complex time for all the GMs. But it's fun for fans and for media. You know, we just come off a great Stanley Cup, and now we're right into all this news. And certainly for a guy like me that's been in the mix usually in these times, it's fun for me to watch it all now and sit back and not feel the pressure of the decision I have to make and watch some of the guys that I've worked deals with before.
Now, Jim, let's be honest here, and I've known you a long time. Being a GM is hard, and I know for a fact that talking to you on game day was a very dicey proposition. No matter, it could be the first week of October, could be game seven of the final, but talking to you on game day was a dicey proposition. Be honest, you miss it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely miss it.
Why?
But you'll be able to talk to me on game days now, so that'll make that easier.
Well, you know, Jim, it's interesting. We talked to Ken Holland, the GM from Edmonton, last week, and one of the things we discussed was the criticism that goes with being a manager. And it's far more now than it used to be. There's more social media. There's more media in general. How did you deal with it? How did you, and you faced some, you know, Pittsburgh's a tough market. And how did you handle it?
Well, I didn't pay attention to it. As long as I've been a manager, I really don't read or follow the critics. But it is part of the job. And it's just part of the game, part of being a fan. You know, they want to be a part of it, and they want to voice their pleasure or their displeasure. But you know, you have to be able to withstand that at times when you do hear about what the criticism is. But I think the important thing is, where is it coming from? There's critics out there that work very, very hard and know their business. And then, of course, there's some that don't work as hard.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they want to be part of social media. They want to get those clicks all the time. And then, of course, there's the fan. Some people that don't pay a lot of attention to the game, don't have enough information to be critical. But they want to be part of it. And I welcome that. They should be. You know, that's what our game's about. The fans are so important to our game, and so is the media. So, anyways, it's just part of it. You make the best decision you can. You make it for probably different reasons for what you're being criticized for, and you move on.
Jim, do you think it's fair to judge the Seattle expansion team next season based on what Vegas did in 2017?
I don't. No, It's a natural thing to do, and I understand why people do it and why they want to do it. It puts extra pressure on Seattle. But that first time through for Vegas with the same rules for Seattle, I think was easier for the first group, as we talked about a little bit earlier, where there were more deals made and they were able to get two players from teams and things like that. So to put that kind of pressure on Seattle, I think, is a little bit unfair. I think what you have to look at with Seattle and Vegas is how this plays out over a 3 or 4 year period, you know, and knowing the way Ron Francis is, he's not just looking at what this team's going to be today. He knows where he wants to be in year two, year three, year four, and he'll have a very good plan for it.
Well, Jim, it's great talking to you. I got to say, I do look forward to seeing you again at the rink when you're super cranky on game day.
I don't know if that day is going to come now, Gord.
Jim, I think it might, and I do look forward to it. So it's always great to talk to you.
Okay, good talking to you. Right. Thanks, Gordy.
There's longtime NHL GM Jim Rutherford. It is quite a day.